Our final speaker is Julia Leach, training manager with Wenco International Mining Systems. She is a wireless technologies and fleet systems specialist focusing on large equipment. In her presentation, Operational Methodology, Strategic Decision-Making, and Fleet Metrics, she will explain how a well-constructed operational methodology that is universally understood provides the greatest risk reduction strategy and also ensures your system can function at an optimal level at all times. How about a warm welcome for Julia?
Hi, everyone. How's everybody doing? Great? Woo! Excited? It's haulage and loader. An exciting thing so far. You guys learning a lot of stuff? One aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Is everyone having a good time? Are you guys awake? Woo! That's right. Okay, so my name is Julia, and my slides are pretty straightforward. Mostly I kind of want to have some discussion with you guys and talk a little bit about some of my experiences. Operational methodology, a tactical model for establishing fleet metrics, or the title that's in there is strategic decision making and fleet metrics. So this is actually the culmination of my experience and things that I've been working on for about 10 years now. So a little bit about my background just quickly. I know it sounds really fancy, but it's not purposely like that. That's what it is, a methodology for what you're gonna do with the information and your communication and your attitude and your thinking around technology. What are you going to do with this stuff, okay? Because I know we've heard some great stuff today about training immersive technologies. Has anybody got that at their site? Do you use it? Anybody been in that? Anyone? Just, yeah? It's pretty cool stuff, hey? I did that, and then I went on a shovel afterwards. I thought it was really, really impressive stuff. A little bit about me, what I've been doing. So I'm recently back in Wenco. It's the fleet management division of Hitachi Construction Machinery. I've been back there for about 8 or 9 months. I worked there many, many years ago for 4 years. Vancouver's a big place for fleet systems technology. It's a port city. It's got a lot of vendors of hardware, software solutions. So that's pretty much what I've been working with since I came out of university, nonstop. So I've worked with many solutions vendors. So Wenco does specifically open pit fleet systems for mining. And the seven or eight years that I was gone, where I worked was also both a hardware manufacturer and software vendor for everything else, from oil and gas. My specialty area, if I were to say that I have one, is actually commercial transportation and logistics, another very complex fleet-type business. But I've worked with everything. Everything, multiple systems, every type of, if it moves, on ground, government, high risk is my specialty, trucking, ambulances, fire, dangerous goods, explosives, they go get money from banks, whatever it is, I have worked in that. My previous employer, we had over 1,000 customers. So some of the biggest that I've worked with are City of Chicago and FedEx and a whole bunch of other stuff. But the important point from that is that that's really given me a lot of perspective on what is a fleet. Okay, so I actually really kind of like having gone and left and gone out into the world and experienced all these things because it's actually given me a really good perspective. My specialist in open pit mining fleet things specifically, not just yet, I hope to get there. But I really feel quite grateful to have had all this experience to compare it to. Some of the things that I've learned is that a fleet is a fleet is a fleet, pretty much, and the systems, all types of businesses have technology. They have fleet technology and things that they, like a third party that they connect to. Anyone uses a fleet management system? Uses one? Has one at their work? Dispatchers, operators, do you have MDTs in your vehicles? Who's seen a fleet management system? Have you used it specifically? Is there anyone here that doesn't have a fleet management system if you work in a mine? So it's pretty standard stuff in this area. Important because, yeah, and as far as training, I've pretty much worked with everybody there too. You've got some very good information today, all really great stuff. Training is very important. I'm glad we talked about both high level and also the operators. That's really important, and it's good to see that things. Everybody who's working with technology in a mine needs to have training around it. So one of the things, actually, one of the mines that I was at just recently, I ended up talking to the operator trainer, and he had a great idea. Let's not just train the operators on how to use it. Tell them what the dispatcher's doing as well. Get up there and train them on what the dispatcher does. That is so important, because one of the things that I'm constantly talking about is that if you're a dispatcher, you have to write out everything that you do, and then you have to see how it lines up with what the operator's doing as well. Two sides, same coin. Okay? Everybody needs to know what everybody else is doing. What I'm finding, and not just open pit, although it's definitely here, something that I've learned across all different fleets, how disconnected the thinking is among all of the different levels. Okay, so yeah, operator training, really important. Where's that in the scale of things? Right here. The operator, that's really critical, and all these things are important, and it should be done correctly and have a well-constructed approach. The quickest way to turn that into fairy dust is have someone at any level above that decide that's not important, and they shouldn't do it like that, and we're not going to get the dispatcher to send out automated dispatches. Someone else is going to interfere. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this, that the dispatcher, no power, nothing. And then right on above, all the way up, just thinking, everyone's allowed to walk around saying this system is crummy and stuff is broken and this is why, and completely immersed in the technology piece. That's not, I'm saying technology is not important. It is. It's very important. It's one layer, okay? So, and it's the core layer. If you take that away, you've got nothing. But if you just stay focused on that, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because it kind of needs to be there. It's essential. I went and I spoke to, I was in South Africa, very large organization, large mining company there. I was invited to go and speak to them to talk about what is important in a fleet management system. What does it need to have in order for it to function optimally? Okay. Interestingly enough, because of course they're interested in something, you may have heard this term, is called future-proofing. That means, do we have what we need now? Is our vendor making us good stuff? Are they going to keep making us good stuff? Is it going to cost us more money? Is it going to get more sophisticated, more difficult? Are we going to need to have more people, more resources? The answer to all that is yes. And not just for where I work, like for everybody, in everything, all technology. So actually, the question of what are we going to do to be strong with our technology, the answer is not technology. That's a given. Okay, that's just been going on now for 200 years since the Industrial Revolution. So I was just going to keep going and going and going. That's the thing you have, that's a fact. That's the stuff that's in front of you that you know. So we've established that technology more important, going to get more sophisticated and harder for us to use. Why? Because our brains are 50,000 years old. It's the last time we had a significant physiological development in our brains. So software and everything is just going to keep on going. It's just going to get harder and harder and harder. It's not going to make things easier for us. What we need to do is have a very clear thinking, like Kay was talking about. Thinking is the difference. If you want to do some doing, and you want any of that to have any chance of being right, no matter what it is, you're talking about technology, you're talking about anything, the only way any one of those options, and usually you've got 1,000+, especially when you're talking about fleet anything, just shooting a moving target. I mean, any single decision you could possibly make, you've got 1,000 or more possible outcomes. How's that going to go? If your thinking is not in alignment, if anything from that turns out to be good, it is complete fluke. Okay, the only way to guarantee you're even close to the right path is the thinking. The thinking is what makes the doing be good. When it's fleet anything decision, only a handful of those are going to be good. Most of them are going to be not so good, even if they look good on the surface. And that's another thing about the fleet management business. What you're looking at is not what you think it is. What you've got in front of you is what's showing itself to you, and you work with that, you be strong. And what you don't see, well, that's the power player. And it may or may not show itself to you, and you may or may not ever know. That's why it's a risk-based business. It's a business of what you don't see, what you don't know. You want to measure it in negative numbers, and then we're talking about things that haven't happened yet. And so how do you protect yourself against that? The one way you can. You have a very strong, structured, universally understood, written down understanding of what your thinking is going to be and how you're going to cope with things. It's the only way that things are going to that are going to work out well. For me, there's only one number that I care about. How many people have not died because of something I have done? A training I have worked on that I have given, at, like I said, every level, from sea level all the way down, dispatch management, my management, any type of management, DBAs, IT, trainers, operators. Has anyone ever not died because of something I've done? I believe that there is a number there, and I'll never know what it is. That doesn't matter. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm going to do. Operational methodology. So this is the human system and the thinking that goes around your technology and all the bits and pieces and the training and everything that you're doing. Okay? It's organizational. It's top down. All right? If you want to get good numbers out of your operator training or anything that's down here, it starts up here. It's top down. You want to use that information there? That's bottom up. It's not going to be worth anything unless the top down is really strong. Okay, so structured, systematic, logical, and repeatable, evolving process. You look at it, you keep working on it. This, you can only manage what you measure. You may have heard that. It's sort of like the fundamental concept of any fleet business. I've had people look at this and say, that is just so totally easy. I've never seen it. I have never seen it from beginning to end 100% done. The only place I've seen it where it's actually on its way to being where it needs to be are places that I am working with that particular organization. It's not easy. There's a big difference between simple and easy. Easy is easy. Simple is something incredibly complex, distilled so you can work with it. Okay? So, yes, this can make things easy. And you can start with written down. When I go and I work with a dispatch, or as soon as I'm working in a dispatch situation, I see all this confusion going on, way too much talk, drivers are writing and talking and using the MDT, all these things going on. I mean, this just should not be happening, but these people don't feel empowered to make that kind of change. It's all going to be above. As soon as that breaks anywhere along, it's done. There's not very much you can do when you're starting actually at the actual, like, dispatcher, operations, driver level. It has to be higher up. So how do you do with that? So you're going to work with your customer, look at your KPIs, what indicates success? What is it that we're going for? Establish how you're going to measure this, okay? Measurement, so difficult. You've probably heard terms like, oh, we've got reports and information and numbers speak for themselves. No, you really do have to know what you're looking at, and it's best to be simple and straightforward. What's more important, if you've got multiple people looking at a piece of information, it's more important that you think the same about how that information will be thought about and what you're going to do with it than you get it right. Because if one person gets it super extra right and everybody else doesn't know what they're doing, that's a problem. You're still not going to get it right. It's better to get close and have a commonality than to get it 100% right. So there's no right and wrong. Another thing about the fleet business. No right, no wrong. Shades of sound and logic. But there's no one thing that's this and everything else is not it. True, false, black, white, on, off, yes, no. Mm-mm. No, you got to keep your thinking loose, okay? Which you might think, oh, if I have really strict thinking about technology or my fleet systems or whatever systems, this isn't just fleet systems, any systems in anything you're dealing with. If I have a very clear and solid understanding and I can answer any question finitely. That's what I've gone through as a trainer, especially as a woman in the business. I mean, the quickest way to make me look like I don't know what I'm talking about is to challenge me on a technical level, even if I've been doing it for 10 years and the person that I'm training has seen the system for 2 days. It takes nothing them to ask me a question that makes sense. I can't come up with an instant answer. Their answer makes perfect sense on the surface. All of a sudden, I don't know what I'm talking about, and the system's crummy and all that kind of stuff. It takes very, very little to make technology look like it's faulty. So little, in fact, I really, really recommend that just don't do it and don't let people do it either, because it's kind of a waste of time. Like, it's child's play. Who can't sit down in front of a system and start picking it apart and looking for ways that it's wrong? What's much, much more difficult is looking for ways that it's right. Because if you can even find 10, 5, I mean, the number of systems I've worked with, yeah, they do 300 really impressive, awesome things and screens and fields and this wireless thing and this out there. And you know what? If you did 10 things right and everybody did it the same, every day, you win. That system is a good system. I assess systems. That's part of what I do, is I actually look at people who use them. If I wasn't working for Wenco Hitachi, what I'd be doing is working with any fleet customer anywhere in the world on anything Do you have what you need? What do you have now? If you've got vendors coming in talking to you, I will help you understand what it is that you're being told. Nobody's lying. It's just that the truth is, it's really hard to figure out the truth if there's not one truth, one thing that is right, especially if that's not your business, especially where the business is going, which in a lot of ways the open pit fleet space is, there's other markets for fleet that are actually at different points with certain pieces of technology and things that are going. Like, there's a lot of interesting things that are about to start happening here that are going to keep going. Web, cellular, engine diagnostics, driver behavior. There's a lot of things that are coming. They're starting to emerge now. Okay, and it's just going to keep ramping up, and there's going to be some really exciting stuff coming. So you want to keep your thinking loose. These are just samples, obviously. The criteria, the things that you're going to look for, you're going to figure that out with your customer. These ones are very generic. What is it that you're looking to do, and how do you measure that? Now, what are we going to use to determine that you've achieved that? Okay. When it comes to data, again, not just fleet system, any system, what are you looking at? The answer can't be, I'm not really sure, or, again, 10 people look at the same thing and don't have a consistent understanding. Okay, one of the things if I go to a customer, one of the first things I look for to know, are they using their technology? Are they even using it at all? I'm not saying using it right. How do I know if they're using it right? I'd have to know quite a bit to assess whether they're using it right. One of the first things I'm going to look for, do you have scheduled reports? Who gets them when? Who's looking at them? How do you determine what you're going to do with that data? If you don't have scheduled reports, you don't have any system for reporting, and that's what this is, the system of using this information. Okay, that's one of the first things that will let me know. How often do you get them? What do? What's your thinking around them? That's more important. Decision-ready data, that's what every single thing you look at on a screen or anywhere is. It's one thing. Whether you're in a vehicle, in the dispatch office, whatever system you're looking at, every single thing that shows itself to you is one thing, decision-ready data. It's there to help you make a decision and do something with it. Because if it's not there for that reason, what is it there for? It doesn't need to be there then. And that's another thing that's about being very clear, operations, methodology, clear thinking. You have to know what's there. There shouldn't be any gray spots. When I work with a customer and I write out everything they do in dispatching and everything they do with their management and everything they do with the operators, when you start going through that, you wouldn't believe how difficult it is for people to write that down. Like, they would tell you off the top of their head, they know it. Okay, start, 5:45, what's the first thing? Go. By the time you're like not even 1 hour in and people are kind of, oh, right, oh, that's what you do? That's surprising, because it all has to match up. That's when the big gray spots start to stick out. Okay, decision-ready data. If it's not there for a purpose to help inform a decision that needs to be made on a certain type of decision-making path that everybody ascribes to, doesn't need to be there. Now it's clutter and it's going to make things confusing. Okay, so when it comes to information data, you know, simpler really is better. You can just keep it pretty basic, straightforward. I should let you guys know, too, that the guys, the organizers here, they said if I can get people to ask questions, I get a drink for every question. Are you going to ask me any questions?
How many drinks do you want?
Yeah! Okay, well, I am always 2 steps ahead. I've already thought about this. Check out this for a plan. If everybody asks a question, how many drinks do we get? A drink for everybody. That's pretty smart, right? That's pretty good. I thought this out. All right. Corey's like, I should never have said that to her. Why did I say that? Okay, performance at all levels. So what I was talking about before, if you've got a system, specifically I'm talking about fleet management, but really it could be any system that's got to do with your fleet-based business. By fleet-based business, I mean if you take the fleet away, you don't have a business. Or if you take the fleet away, you have some portion of business, but it's not going to be functioning optimally, and it probably won't be functioning for very much longer. Most businesses fall into group number one. Take it away, no more business. So hardware and software, pretty basic. Why do so many of the conversations start and end in hardware and software and functionality, and can it do this, and this means it's broken, and this means it's good, when it's a given The people who are very, very good with this stuff, those are the people who should be running it, DBAs. If you've got databases, that's who needs to be running them. Database-level people with a lot of skill. I see a lot of instances where heavy-duty multimillion-dollar databases are not being used with people who understand databases at all. Okay, and then professional services. This is where training comes in. This is where your approach, okay? So you can buy these things from your vendor, or you could have them in-house. I'm very happy to see that at a lot of customers that I'm working with, particularly in this space, they do have trainers. They tend to be focused at the operator level, so that's good. And I've met some really good ones, too. A lot of guys, a lot of experience in mining. Maybe they've moved from one place to another because they just want to be closer to their family or what have you. So that's great. Haven't seen a lot of evidence that there's going to be trainers at for other levels as well. So you see what I mean about you can do it really right at one level. If it's not going up throughout the organization, then you're going to have some problems. I've definitely seen evidence of a very good trainer who doesn't have a lot of power to make changes and have things function a certain way at the operator level. No dispatcher trainer, no training for a lot of the other things, except for safety, right? I think someone already mentioned safety. It's not just about make sure everybody knows what numbers to dial or what to say if there's an incident. This has a lot to do with safety. Just thinking, organization, clear, structured. Less is more if it is consistent. Parity. The two words I use the most in the business of what I do are risk and parity. Risk is a major thing. You don't see it. You don't know it. You don't know what you're dealing with. The way to cope with it and the best way to make sure that you're prepared is parity. Parity means consistency. You will receive consistency of doing if there's consistency of thinking. No consistency of thinking, zero chance of consistency of doing. Management, so this is where the decisions are made. So the things that the dispatcher is doing, it's too late then for the dispatcher to be doing the things that he needs to do to get it right. How's he going to get it right? He shouldn't be making all the decisions on the fly. That's real-time work. The way that you're functioning, what you want to do operationally, that comes from the management level. He should have a lot of power and information to enact things in real-time the best way possible based on what's being given to him organizationally at a higher level. So users and training, so once we have that going as well, structured performance, we also talked about competency-based, so that's excellent. So really great information on training. Hopefully you can take that away and use a lot of the really great concepts we've learned today at your organization. And systematic decision-making process. So this is what I mean again about less is more. So just having, I like to work in sets of 10. So now we don't need to conquer everything about the system. Let's just talk about the top 10. What do you need to do? Let's get 10 things in place that are working really well. Okay. Another thing about the fleet business, when something happens, maybe it's going to look so much like something that's happened 50 times before, and yet it isn't. It's impossible, actually. Again, shooting a moving target. It's never the same. It's never, ever the same people or the same equipment. They're not in the same place. It's not the same landscape. It's not the same managers. Nothing is the same. It doesn't matter how much it looks the same. It's not the same thing. So that one time you go and do the thing that has worked before, just doing that because that's how you do it, that could be the worst possible outcome at that time. So it has to be the thinking that's in alignment throughout the organization. And then once this is happening at the top level, and again, and driving it down throughout the organization, that's top down. Now you can start using all of the things that are happening at the strata, at the lower levels, using that to drive it back into your organization and make better levels. I have seen this happen. Anglo-American, I've been doing quite a lot of reading and research on that organization. It's fascinating because they've been through a substantial organizational mind shift over the last few years. They got a new CEO. That particular woman was, her thinking, particularly on safety and fatalities, was quite a bit different from what had been accepted as the norm for a very, very long time. And some of the changes that she wanted to enact, she would be taken aside. Keep in mind, she's the very top person of this organization. Other levels of management would take her aside and say, That's just the way that it is. People, that's it. Sorry. People dying on the job, that's just a natural part of mining. And it's going to be very difficult to change that. Not that difficult to change that. First step one is changing the thinking of people that don't really want to be open to it. But again, as we've heard today, it's really, so you can take that step. It is a big leap. It is a big leap. Going from what you know and what feels safe is hugely scary. I've experienced this myself on a personal level from training. I didn't make the decision to buy it. I'm not the one bringing this technology into the workplace. I've had people get mad and yelling. I had a guy have like a seizure. Got so stressed out because I wouldn't tell him how much not change this was going to have on his job that, you know, on day three he just freaked right out and ended up having like a seizure out in the hallway, and the paramedics and the Leduc fire department showed up. So it was, that's what can happen. People can react quite strongly to change, but it can do a lot for your organization. Having these things clear, I've yet to walk into any dispatch office or see the concepts that should be guiding the thinking, the decision making, written down or step by step. This is what operators do. This is what the dispatcher does. This is how they go together. When we see this, it means this. X equals Y. Not get up in the morning, had a bad night's sleep, fight with the wife. No. Computers don't function like that. What happens is that a lot of people decide that their interaction with computers, what it needs to be, is that you are evaluating it and what it's doing wrong, which is kind of impossible given that it's artificial intelligence and incredibly powerful. How people need to work with computers is be more like computers in their thinking and how they conduct themselves, which is this, to be organized the same way all the time. This is how we're going to do things. This is our accepted understanding. Okay. That is what will empower the system to do the best job that it possibly can. Questions? Somebody needs to ask a question. I'm thirsty, okay? Let's go. Richard, do you have a question, don't you? Come on. Come on. Does everybody know Richard Taggy? He's from Wenco. Say hi, Richard. No questions? How about, does this seem like something that would be useful at your organization? Do you guys have this already in place? Is there something like this in place? Do you have any examples? Any examples from where you work? Where the thinking and the doing and all of those things are written down. It's in a binder. People are trained on how to use systems and information and data in your organization. Does that happen anywhere? Nowhere. Is that accurate for me to take? This is an actual question because I do get questions on this, and this is the work that I'm working on right now. Is it accurate for me to leave this org today and go home and tell my boss that actually this is not happening anywhere? Because I don't see any hands. So that means it isn't simple and it isn't easy because it isn't being done. So it's good to know.
Thanks. Oh, man, no drinks.
Come on, it's so unfair. Can I ask? I've asked lots of questions.
You're going to have to work that out with Corey.
Oh, that's not right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.